Welcome to the Tell Us Something podcast. I'm Mark Moss, your host. Tell Us Something seeks to celebrate the craft of live storytelling. The Missoula community comes together for a night of shared stories told live, focused on a theme. Tell Us Something is a quarterly event. Everyone has a story. What's yours? This quarter's Tell Us Something was recorded on March 21st, 2013 at the Top Hat. This edition of Tell Us Something features 10 storytellers telling a story based upon the theme Extremes. This week's story comes to us from Natalie Dawson and is titled Extremely Tight Clothing. Thank you for listening.
Okay, I'm going to open with the knowledge that at least half the room probably knows about the very recent scandal with Lululemon and the see-through spandex. This talk has nothing to do with that. and I have a layer on underneath. These are not see-through. Okay, let's set the stage. It's 27 below zero with the wind chill. When you live in the Midwest, you always factor in the wind chill. That's just how it goes. So it's 27 below, and I'm sitting in what to any innocent bystander or pilot flying overhead in a small Cessna would look at and say, that's a circus tent. Inside that circus tent are 700 people crowded around each other, sandwiched in. And we're all sitting there, maybe for different reasons, but in general for the same reason. We're waiting to start a cross-country ski race. It's northern Michigan. It's January. It's 27 below zero. My dad had a really hard time starting the car in the morning before we got to the trailhead. I knew it was going to be a bad morning. You cannot race unless the temperature actually gets up to 10 below. So we're sitting in this tent, and on either side of me are these two really big Canadian guys. And at the time, I think I'm 15 or 16. And they're much larger than me and much older. And the one guy on my left is worried about his hands. He's really worried about his hands. He's like, God, I don't know if it gets to 10 below, I'm pretty sure I'm gonna lose at least a couple fingers. And I'm only 16. I don't want to lose any fingers yet. That's not something you want to hear at 16. That's actually something that most 16-year-olds aren't even worried about. But I was actually worried about it thanks to the tall Canadian guy on my left. The guy on my right, he's really worried about his toes. Same thing. He's worried about how many toes he's going to lose. Thus begins an entire lifetime of where I will and still do worry about my digits. And this will come into play later. Anyway, so I'm listening to these guys banter back and forth. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, this is my first 50-kilometer ski race. I've never done this before. My dad told me that I'd be fine. I ate like 12 pounds of pasta last night. I'm going to be just fine. And so I'm sitting there with my thoughts about how okay I'm going to be listening to these two Canadian guys talk about them losing their digits. And they're from Ontario. That's further north. I'm from Detroit, on the other side, the warm side of the river. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm gonna be all right. So we're all sitting in this tent, and then I start thinking, my transcendental self, well, everyone's having these thoughts. Everyone's worried about the same thing. We're all gonna have to get out there at 10 below and ski, and that's just how it's gonna be. And then I think, what is it that we all have in common? We're all here for different reasons, but we all have something in common. And then I realize, yes, the one thing we have in common is we're all clad in extremely tight clothing. This is a story about extremely tight clothing. Okay, I grew up in Detroit, so if I occasionally make these hand signals that make it look like I might bust into a hip-hop song, that's why. I'm white, but I'm from Detroit, so that tendency will always be there. anyway, so I grew up in Detroit, Michigan, right? Just to list off some things that Detroit gave us, I mean, we all hear about it now in the news, but Detroit gave us paved roads. Yeah, we were the first ones with paved roads, guys. We were also the first ones with a news radio station, WWJAM Radio, news and weather on the 8s. It's still in existence. Fred Bear, the Ted Nugent song, Fred Bear. Ted Nugent actually has his own radio station in Detroit. It's called 101.1 The Bear. we also were the first ones to discover cream soda. And we eat more donuts than any other city in the country, which you wonder, huh, interesting. She's talking about extremely tight clothing. How does that go with a city that eats the most donuts in the country? Well, because in my world, Detroit equals spandex. That's just how I was raised. Okay, so So I was raised in a family in Detroit, Michigan. I was raised on 8 Mile. Some of you may have heard it. And Eminem, who's a white rapper, did a movie back in the mid-90s called 8 Mile. We watched it when I was in my college dormitory, and I'm like, that is not what 8 Mile looks like. Not at all. I lived in a small suburb. It does not look like what Eminem makes it look like in that movie. But I did grow up on 8 Mile, where there's not a lot of spandex, and there's a lot more rapping than there is spandex. So on 8 Mile, when it snowed, my dad and I would put on spandex, and we would do interval workouts on 8 Mile. Between 8 Mile and 9 Mile, which is 1 mile, it's easy. It's flat out there, guys. We have to have some kind of way to measure distance. So we measure this distance, we do our intervals, we come home. Occasionally, we make the Detroit news. There's a couple articles about people in spandex on snowy days in Detroit. These are the things I grew up with. And it was fine until I hit 14, and then it was no longer fine. I was in high school. It was not cool to be in spandex. My dad would call the school anytime I had a really good cross-country ski racing result, right after they talked about the pom-pom squad and the football players and the basketball team in the winter and the soccer team and the lacrosse team. And they'd be like, and Natalie Dawson got fifth place at the Junior National Championships for cross-country skiing. And I would hang my head and think, oh, that is so not cool, Dad. That is so not cool. You do not understand what that just did to my reputation. You have no idea. And around the same time that I'm arguing with myself about how uncool this is, and meanwhile, I'm, 15, 16, getting my sophomore, junior year, just started to be allowed to date, and my dad threatens me that if I don't come home at curfew, he will run through the school gym at the next home basketball game in his spandex screaming, I am Natalie Dawson's father. That is a very potent threat to any parents out there. Even if you don't wear spandex or Speedos, if you throw that threat out there, your daughters or your sons will listen. I did. I listened. I didn't always make curfew, but I was pretty damn good. So anyway, I get into high school. This isn't cool anymore. At the same time, Snickers comes out with a commercial. And in this commercial, there's two guys, very cool-looking guys, on a chairlift. And there's a guy cross-country skiing. They're all young, in their early 20s. And the guys on the chairlift watch the guy in the cross-country skis below the chairlift open a Snickers bar. And they say, oh, wow, Snickers really satisfies. And this was a slogan for like 15 years for Snickers bars. Okay, nondescript commercial, most people won't remember it. However, it changed my life for like 5 years because now the only thing that anyone in Detroit, Michigan knew about cross-country skiing was that they're the uncool people under the chairlift eating Snickers bars while the cool people on the chairlift laugh at them. Okay. So I somehow make it through high school relatively unscathed, and I get to college. And at this point, I realize not only have I been completely brainwashed by my parents to think that it's normal to sport this stuff and go to the store afterwards as long as you do the following. Hold on, I'm dressing myself to go grocery shopping. This is what my parents did. Okay, no, Natalie, don't freak out. It's totally fine. I put a sweatshirt on just like you asked me to. Okay, great. That's awesome. I'll totally feel fine when we run into every guy I've ever had a crush on in high school in the grocery store. So in college, I've embraced spandex at this point. I'm cross-country ski racing. I'm biking. After college, I moved to Alaska. Not only in Alaska do I find people that wear spandex, but they do it for fun. They sew their own spandex. They go to weddings in spandex. They take their spandex off and go naked. They wear butterfly wings in spandex, tutus in spandex. I have found my people. It is amazing. So I spend years in Alaska appreciating the extremely tight clothing and the propensity for wearing it for any reason or no reason at all. But I continue ski racing, and I'm sorry for Rosingle if there happen to be any Rosingle people out there. I do not mean to, wear the uniform in funniness, although I do in some ways. But I continue to race, and I realize that my parents have taken a girl from Detroit, Michigan, who I could have grown up doing whatever and never really appreciating getting outside and being different, and I could have been really unsure of myself because we all go through that phase. And I never went through it because that phase when we're all unsure of ourselves, I had to wear this. There, you can't be unsure of yourself in spandex. And this actually, just as a disclaimer, is way better than what it was when I actually was 14. These were one pieces with a zipper up the front. Yes. And they were neon. This is way better. And I realized that, shoot, my parents had it right all along. Good job shoving me in a tent with 700 other people, making me feel completely worried about things that, I don't know, most teenage kids don't worry about, like their fingers falling off or these large Canadians talking about losing digits and then realizing, like, well, what are we all scared of? We're all in spandex anyway. This is my biggest fear, and I'm over it. So now every year, and we have always, my family gets together in some random place, and we hang out. We usually sleep in tents, and we get up in the morning, we put extremely tight clothing on, and we go do something. That's my story.
Tell Us Something would like to thank the bookstore at the University of Montana, a local bookstore serving the students, staff, and faculty of the University of Montana, as well as the general Missoula community, montanabookstore.com. The Top Hat, regularly bringing Missoula great live music, now with food, tophatlounge.com. Fact and Fiction, where books, authors, ideas, and readers interact, factandfictionbooks.com. Jonathan Marquise, illustrator, artist, and community organizer, jonathanmarquise.com, that's Marquise with a Q. Matt LaRubio, screen printing done right, mlarubio@gmail.com. Rock and Rudy's, your source for funky gifts, cards, and music. Great people, great music, rockandrudys.com. Thanks to Cash for Junkers, who provided the music for the podcast. Find them at cashforjunkersmusic.com. Find us on twitter.com/PSSTTELLUS. That's twitter.com/tellus. Also on Facebook and at tellussomething.org. Interested in telling a story? Call 406-203-4683 or email tellussomething@gmail.com. That's PSSTTELLUS.something@gmail.com to pitch your story. Tell Us Something is a quarterly event. Everyone has a story. What's yours? Thanks for listening.